Monday, July 4th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Well, happy Independence Day. 246 years ago, our country declared its independence. Harry, interestingly, as we have seen so often in the news, we see more and more repression of our country's history as we try to diminish what our country has stood for over these last 250 years. Most recently, Cornell University has removed the Gettysburg Address and a bust of Abraham Lincoln from its school library, allegedly after one complaint.
It's a display that's been there for 9 years, going on 10, and all of a sudden it disappeared, and the only thing they can find is a single complaint. Tom, it just certainly seems to fall in line with the repression of a factual history in which you deal with the beauty marks of the history of a nation as well as its quote-unquote warts and pimples. You got to know the past to learn from the past, and you learn from the past in order to live in the present and then change and redirect wherever necessary into the future. And yet, the repression is taking place through suppression, the cancel culture, to suppress individuals, to suppress subjects, to suppress full accuracy around historical events. And by the way, you can see this in all the Marxist movements around the world, the toppling of statues, the control of the curriculum, the rewriting of history, the expunging of individuals from history. And now we see it in our own nation, and we see it showing up in educational institutions like Cornell. But what's amazing is that Abraham Lincoln, the quote-unquote the great emancipator, has now become the target and probably what I would say is one of the top five presidential speeches in our history, which is the Gettysburg Address. When I was growing up, students had to memorize Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and it's become a point of fascination with me for multiple reasons. I actually had the opportunity to pastor a young lady who is of the lineage of Dr. Phineas Gurley, who was Lincoln's pastor while he was president in Washington, D.C. at a church called New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. It has in its lineage of pastors such notables as Peter Marshall, which there was a significant movie made about him and the impact of his ministry. And full disclosure, my granddaddy used to teach a Sunday school class at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, where Peter Marshall had previously been the pastor. So I've had an interest in his ministry and the impact of his ministry. But one of the things that occurred out of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church on a Sunday night was a presentation of the trajectory of God's grace at work in the life of Abraham Lincoln and its impact manifested in the Gettysburg Address. You know, the Gettysburg Address is noted for its brevity. He was only given a couple of minutes. The great orator from Massachusetts, Edward Everett, was in fact the main speaker, and he spoke for 2.5 hours. But Lincoln got up and in a few moments delivered this, and there was silence when he sat down next to Edward Everett. And he said, "Well, I don't think it made much impact." And Everett said, "It's the most amazing speech I've ever heard." And he talked about how he had captured the issue, and the silence was actually, people were stunned by its gravitas and what he had said. The brevity of this nation, 47 years ago, you know, when the Civil War breaks out, we're a relatively young nation, just a little bit over 80 years old. We were not a monarchy where one man or one woman rules, and we're not a oligarchy where a set of powerful influencers rule. We were a constitutional republic where the law ruled. We had a Declaration of Independence, and after securing our freedom, we then ordered our freedom with a constitution, and then we put in place the Bill of Rights that would mature and maintain that freedom. And it is those themes that Lincoln is grasping for, and this experimental government that is built upon freedom. That's unheard of. That was an amazing experiment that was now under assault in terms of Lincoln's perspective established in this brief speech. This cemetery that he was dedicating there in Gettysburg just months after the Battle of Gettysburg, shall this trial by blood actually give a new birth to this experiment, or will it become the demise and this nation would disappear from the earth? And then he talks about that this is a nation conceived in liberty that limits the government, and that this is a nation that is theistic. It's not a theocracy. It doesn't pick and enforce a religion, but it is theistic. It is, as Lincoln said, under God. It's aspirational speech. It is a factual speech. It recognizes the brevity of the nation, the fragility of such an experiment, and the need for divine intervention. Well, maybe that's why the current Marxist movement wants to suppress this particular speech and the witness of Abraham Lincoln's presidency. You know, one of the things that you can really track is what a man says and what a man writes when the Lord's dealing with his heart. Go read the first inaugural address of Lincoln, then read Meditations upon the Divine Will by Lincoln, then read the Gettysburg Address, and then go read what I think is an even greater speech of Lincoln, which is his second inaugural address, and look at not a perfunctory reference to God, as many presidents do in their speech, but a clear and vital use of biblical concepts in that second inaugural address, setting the course of a nation that was about to be reunited. Tom, let me just finish by saying in the 1950s that the full testimony of God's work in President Lincoln's life to bring him to saving faith was given as a speech by the pastor of New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in the early 1950s, sitting out there for a Sunday night service were two congressmen who were so moved by it, they went back and introduced two bills. One is Lincoln's desire that we would adopt George Washington's desire for the national motto to be "In God We Trust," and that was passed, and the law to place it upon the coinage of our country. And secondly, the "under God" phrase was inserted into a document that had started to be recited in America called the Pledge of Allegiance. And thus came the phrase that, awkwardly and inconsistently with the grammar, "I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God." That's supposed to be "one nation under God," but the reason people pause is it was something that was inserted after they had already learned the Pledge of Allegiance, and so they had to stop, think, to put it in, and we still do it to this day, "one nation under God, indivisible," and then, of course, the rest of the pledge. So those are just some thoughts, and that's what the current Marxist-permeated movement in our educational, particularly our higher educational system, even manifested at a place like Cornell with such decisions to suppress what is antithetical to the whole concept of an expanded, overreaching government. Lincoln clearly was in a difficult situation, but as he tried to use the government to support a limited government and affirm it in the Gettysburg Address, that great movement is now being suppressed because it doesn't fit with the current desire that we have a government that will institute a utopia, but the reality is it's introducing a dystopia. No, our utopia is to come. It's the new heavens and the new earth. In the meantime, we need a limited federal government because power corrupts, but we also need rule by law, and therefore we need the impact of Christianity so that the citizens know how to love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God.
As we close out for today, let me remind you, it's easy to subscribe to Today in Perspective on your smartphone or your tablet. Go to your podcast icon, type in "Today in Perspective with Harry Reeder." Each and every weekday, we'll automatically download to your device a new edition of Today in Perspective, a great way to stay in touch. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.